side one. This is Mary Wright interviewing Mrs. Sarah Scott, 5 Columbia Place, Champaign, Illinois, July 11th, 1979. All right, Mrs. Scott, first I'd like to say I'm very happy that you consented to be a part of our oral history. Some of the questions that we would like to begin with are concerning when you first came to Champaign, to the Champaign-Urbana area.
I came to Champaign in 1911.
How would you describe Champaign as being, as far as what type of place it was, as far as a minority?
As far as Champaign, the beauty was concerned, it was a beautiful place, but it had quite a bit of segregation. Mm-hmm. And so I had just came out of segregation, so I thought that it would be different here, but it wasn't. Mm-hmm. But they cleared that up later. Mm-hmm.
Well, where did you originally come from?
Oh, the southern part of the state, Chinatown, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I was born and raised there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you yourself have any encounters at all as far as segregation or
segregation? Uh-huh. We couldn't go to a theater. Mm-hmm. We could go, but we could sit where they wanted us to. And if you sit in a place else other than what they wanted you to, why, they would ask you to move, which they asked me several times to move, and I'd just get up and get out. And but didn't make them into because I had paid my fare anyway. Mm-hmm. And we couldn't go to places to eat. Mm-hmm. The station, IC station, where we could eat.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the stores were all right. They wanted the money. But as far as, and then we couldn't have we used to dance quite a bit. My husband loved to dance and things like that. And wasn't any place for us to go. And that was downtown over Lewis's store.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only place that we could go. And we used to have a lot of fun among ourselves. And as far as theater was concerned, well, they'd have a sign of whites only.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, well, I'll just assume be at Chinatown, because
mm-hmm.
that's what I left, that's why we left.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother, we came here, she came here before I did, and a conductor of ours, asked us to, he was here in school, and he asked my mother, that she was a widow then,
mm-hmm.
to come here, and there was a big, she could get a job on the campus. She was a good cook,
mm-hmm.
and which she did, and she came before I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I visited with the Army in the tropics.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I came here, Mrs. Pope met me at the train,
mm-hmm.
and we were friends from that old.
Was this Alice Pope?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And we were quite close from that on until until she passed. Of course, we couldn't see each other as often as we used to because we were both married. And of course, my husband he was born and raised here. He didn't know anything about segregation and things that we did.
Mm-hmm.
And so after all, I did it all this year. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So you say your mother was the first to come. And you followed your mother. Any other members of your family come here?
Yes, I had one sister, and she came here with my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And she graduated from high school here, and she married, but then she began to cook on the camp. She's got a son here,
mm-hmm.
Lionel DeFay. He's a chiropodist.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing quite well,
mm-hmm.
but she passed on. She sold her house and went over to a skeleton place to live, and that's where she passed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I am 4 years older than she is.
Oh,
she was. Mm-hmm.
What about the opportunities for black people doing when you first came here? How were they?
They were terrible. Mm-hmm. They didn't have, just like they didn't have the go-get it. And this is a town where there's no society. Mm-hmm. It's all working for a work, and it still continues to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
But if they were, if you couldn't allow us to go here or there, they didn't bother with it. They didn't try to get together to do anything about it until here in the last late year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So in other words, you're saying that they didn't, the people here didn't unite to bring about better opportunities? Is that what you're saying? Am I understanding you correctly?
What did you say?
That the people didn't try to get together, unite.
No, they didn't. Mm-hmm. They just hearsay, and they didn't try to do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
But not like they're really doing now. But I tell you what, Ku Klux Klan was here at that time,
mm-hmm.
and the university started this desegregation,
mm-hmm.
and so they eventually, some of them fell in line with it.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be not many black students here, but we were all mixed together,
mm-hmm.
and you couldn't tell one from the other because as far as social life is concerned, because there weren't many, and they all went to church together, Sunday school or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And but now they go everywhere but to church.
That's true. You're saying that the university led a lot in integrating.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The people, if the university had not been the one to start a lot of these things.
The university did. They were the ones that I guess they really got tired of it. And they started, and then the push went on for a year or two, and then they began to open up to let us go and where we wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so
can you remember the first when things really started opening up, what was really one of the first things you realized that segregation was breaking down? What was one of the first things?
Well, because we just, one day we said, let's go into the theater. Miss Pope was living in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And let's go in here and let's go see what they let us do, where we can sit. And they just told us to go in and sit down anyway.
Mm.
And same way when it comes to eating. Mm. So
what year were doing? What year that was when that happened?
And let's see, that was about, until I married in 1912. That must have been in 11 to between 11 and 12.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So now tell me what year you first came here in
11,
and you got married in 1912.
Uh-huh.
So between 1911, 1912,
mm-hmm.
One of the first things you could see happening was
it was getting better and better.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Uh-huh.
But going to a theater was one of the first evident things that you could see,
mm-hmm.
that it was
kind
of breaking up. Were it just the two of you, Ms. You and Mrs. Pope? Is this the two?
Well, others? Now we two chummed together, but we were. Yeah, it was just about the two of us, because
mm-hmm.
we knew the people, we knew the kids around,
mm-hmm.
but...
Did you go just by yourself, or did you go with a whole group? Or
no, just she and I.
Weren't you
mm-hmm.
a little frightened?
You know, we were too angry to be. And then there was segregation in the schools.
Mm-hmm.
When Irma was in high school, why, of course, it was swimming, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't let the Negroes swim,
mm-hmm.
at all.
Mm-hmm.
So
they were good. They were integrated in the classroom, and
yeah,
other things.
Uh-huh.
But when it came to swimming, they wouldn't let
them
swim.
They wouldn't let them swim at all. So at that time, I was married and had a family. And so we just decided we'd get together and do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to the superintendent of the school, and he was from the South too,
mm-hmm.
and we told him what we wanted,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know what we're going to do, nothing to do. But mm-hmm. Amen, we told them we had our minds made up as to what we wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And if it didn't stop, well, thus and so would happen. And so when the time came on, he let them swim.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You say the Ku Klux Klan is interesting, I guess, because most people associate the Deep South with the Ku Klux Klan.
They're scared to death.
Right. Mm-hmm. What would you say was the highest point that the Ku, did you ever see them marching? What was the highest point that had maybe the highest number here? Was it when you first came and they slowly got less and less, or during the 20s, did they pretty much flourish? Or
yeah, well, they began to see that the Negroes, if they went in the place, mm-hmm. they would spend more money
mm-hmm.
than the whites would.
Mm-hmm.
Naturally, Negroes do that anyway. And they began to let them in for one or two places, and I guess the word went around that how much money they were spending and how they were tipping.
Mm-hmm.
So it just opened up
mm-hmm.
for Negroes to go.
Yeah. Now, when you first came here, about approximately how many about the word they hear, and when was the biggest, largest number, can you remember, that came, when the biggest influx
in coming in?
Right, when you first came, about how many, were there a great deal of them here then? Coming just before, it was just before World War
One. Yeah, were there many Negroes
mm-hmm,
coming in?
Mm-hmm.
No, they weren't many. Well, in fact, I guess we just, it was a bunch of, we just kept ourselves to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about the other end of towns and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Just where we lived on Stoughton Street, and we didn't know about the rest of it.
In other words, you didn't.
My mother was living, and she was very strict,
mm-hmm.
and she wouldn't let us go out. We'd always tell there's a church,
mm-hmm.
We just didn't mingle with only mm-hmm.
those who were at the church and yeah. in your neighborhood, really,
mm-hmm.
in your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but can you remember when seeing more maybe black faces around in the whole community? As a whole? Maybe when you went downtown, you began to see more and more?
Yeah, well, in the stores and whatnot, mm-hmm. yeah. And they would be, and which they, of course, they just do that now, but they would, they had floor walkers, and I was looking over some things that I was just going through looking,
mm-hmm.
and this fella kept right behind me, and I looked around, and he didn't say anything, and I kept walking. I was spitfire when I first mm-hmm. came, and then I kept moving about, and he kept following, and I said, well, I want to tell you one thing. I'm not going to take anything. If I want anything, I'll buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So he left me then.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what they wanted to do, they thought we was in the store just to pick up.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When did this happen? When we first came here?
Mm-hmm. A long time after we first came here. Mm-hmm.
What effect did the World Wars have? Did you see a lot of... I know what the train station here comes
from. No, World War One. That I didn't pay. My husband was supposed to go to war in World War One, and that's at the time. But he was too young, and they said they were going to have this parade where the war was over, and so they paraded through the streets. And the band started out from the university, and they went all the way through town and all. And that was about 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, when it ended?
Mm-hmm.
When it ended? Oh, I see.
And he said, I'm going. I said, going. He said, I'm going out to join the people. And I said, I'm going too. He said, no, you're not. You're going to stay with the children. So I didn't get out there. I didn't see him all day long.
Everybody celebrating because
he did. Boy, I was in World War II.
Oh, you was?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Now, what effect did that have? I know they had segregated Army, the armies and everything.
In him, mm-hmm. World War II.
Right.
Yeah, he after the war was over, he wasn't. Each little, every little sound, you know, he just thought that this was somebody coming in for flames or something, you know. And he would, his room was upstairs. And I got used to it. And he'd run downstairs and say, "Hey, buddy, they're coming. And I said, "No, they're not coming." I said, "Just do yourself. Go back upstairs." And just said, "You order 70 or something like that." And cried as near as he'd go on back. But it was awful hard for him, for them, to all of them, to get used to it. But it wasn't the war anymore. And the guns were fired.
He saw quite a bit of action.
Yeah, he did. He was right here in Christmas time. He was over in Germany where it all was.
Mm-hmm. What year that was?
And let me see. The war ended in 40, didn't it?
45.
45. Mm-hmm. It was just before he came home. Must have been in 42 or 3.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did he have very much effect after the, for a long time? Did he have a lot of effect left over? I know you said when he first came back, he was still
fearful,
right? But did it last for a long, like for years? Did this happen? Did it happen to
him? I can't hear
you. Oh, I'm sorry. I said for years. Did he still have the same? Did it still affect him that way?
Oh well, no. It kind of drifted away.
Mm-hmm.
And then. Because it took Ray and I, my husband and I both to kind of calm him down, you know. And, but it kind of drifted away, and then he was better. He and my nephew were around together. Nana was in the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, and then he worked at Chinook Field before he went. And he'd call me all one night. He'd call me about what, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. Money, call me Muddy.
Mm-hmm.
Muddy, said, "You know what?" I said, "What?" He said, "You know, there was a fellow up here walking and trying, he's going to put some poison in the tanks."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Are you sure?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, "They called him." He worked at the officers' club.
Mm-hmm.
So then that was cleared up, and so then he got along pretty good.
That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. Let's see what other questions are. We have listed some of the landmarks and details about Champaign-Urbana, some situations and sites. And one thing, we wanted you to make a comment on the Parker Shacks. Do you remember when they had the Parker Shacks?
The what shack?
Parker's Shacks. There was when they had a great deal of black people come from the South, and they didn't have anywhere for them to stay.
That was before. Maybe Miss Hind would know about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now this was somewhere. It should have been from what Shirley told me. It should have been somewhere between the World Wars, maybe during the '30s. That they had these shacks. They built. It was. From what I understand, there were shacks really just made with a roof over the head, just little boards put up
That wasn't here.
Well, she said it was here for a lot of people came from Mississippi and Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I don't remember.
Don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here goes. Do you remember when a lot of black people came from Mississippi up here? A great deal of them came.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That was before my time.
What about on this north end? Now you said you lived on what street when you were married?
Stoughton.
Now was that on the north end, on this end of town?
Was it this end of town? Mm-hmm. No, it was over on the other.
On the other end.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, how long did you live on that? How long did you live on that part of town?
Well, let me see. After we married, we bought a home out on Ells Avenue,
mm-hmm.
and the house next door to it. My mother was living in it. Why, she bought one next door, so that was about, we moved out there in 19, well, I lived with my mother-in-law before then. You see that? About 13, 19, 13, 14.
How long did you live there?
Till he died, and that was, I lived there until 71.
Mm. So it was over almost 60 years?
Yeah, 50 years.
50 years. And
because I lived there after he passed.
So then moving over here was about the second move that you made.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How did you see that area change over the years?
Well, when we first went out there, there wasn't any black people out there at all. There was about one family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's grown now. There's several families out there now. So it didn't really fill up with us.
Did you find it hard buying a house?
I told somebody that not long ago. I said, well, we bought our house 1500. Somebody said $15. No.
$1,500.
I said $50 down, and we didn't have the money to pay it down. I said my mother-in-law gave us the $50.
But you know, for the way cost of living is, that would be $50. Escapade would probably know about $500 or $1,000.
Yeah. Well, he worked at the university. He worked there until he passed.
Mm-hmm.
And he just went to carry mail, and he was finally made supervisor of the mail.
Mm-hmm.
And
was he the first black?
He was the first black out there. Mm-hmm. I mean,
to work in the mail?
And they just sort of turned everything over to him, you know, to have charge of.
Mm-hmm.
And then he hired Nate Banks and George Evans and Clarence Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
And they're there, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that was the first for your family. Your family was one of the first to do some of things.
He was the first. He was, and he had such a sweet, lovely disposition. I had such a terrible that he didn't get angry.
Mm-hmm.
He just didn't get angry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if anybody make any comment, any racial slur, anything, it didn't bother him?
No. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't understand why he depended on the white man for anything he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, and they said, say, he said, I have to. He said, they got the money, and we don't need it. You see, at home, we're country folks, anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
We just all went in together and done what we wanted to do. We didn't didn't ask a whole lot, you see. Mm-hmm. But he said, well, they got the money, and we haven't got any money.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, I could see it then, and I didn't say anything more about it.
So, in other words, you came from a place where you lived in a rural area. You grew your own food, and you had your own land and everything, so you didn't have to worry about it.
My dad was a farmer, and you didn't have to depend on the other fella.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So you were self-sufficient, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, and then coming here and having to make a life in this
city.
Was it hard for you to adjust to? I know you said you talked to him about it, but
after he explained it to me, why I could see it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did he go to the university? Did he attend the university at all? I know.
Did I?
Did you?
He worked at the university club.
Mm-hmm.
And then the of course that was professors and all, you know, mm-hmm. in their cell. One of them asked him to, would he be interested in carrying mail, would he take examination for the mail service. Mm-hmm. And he did and passed it. Mm-hmm. And that was why he was there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He was the first one. I said if I keep saying, but he was the first one hired mm-hmm. in that type of position.
Yeah, he was the first one. Mm-hmm. And of course they didn't have any dorms in. Mm-hmm. And then everybody stayed in fraternities and sororities and mm-hmm. like that. But mm-hmm. and they didn't stay on the campus. Mm-hmm. And,
now your daughter did attend. Mm-hmm. Your daughter did attend the university.
Well, she graduated.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And just about the time that my son was ready to go to the university while he was called in mm-hmm. service. And after he came out, while he went to University High.
Black businesses.
We had one taxi station. Dixon and Harris mm-hmm. taxi station, and that's about the only Negro business.
That was about it.
They didn't want to get together. Mm-hmm.
What about in other words, there wasn't any that you know of in downtown Champaign at all. There wasn't any in downtown Champaign at all. Mm-hmm. What about barbers and things that you
had? One barber, a black barber. His name is Walter Davis. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What about beauticians? Mm-hmm. What about beauticians?
Well, I guess it must have been one person had done my hair for about 25, 30 years. She's still doing it. Mm-hmm. That's the only person I went to, but I think it was another one. But her name was Goodness. Mm-hmm. I called her Goodness. But after Naomi went to, maybe you know Naomi Hart. With her husband to California. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get anybody to do it like I wanted to. Everybody tried to do it like Neil McGann, but she's supposed to do it this week.
Mm-hmm. When you first started going to Bethel, how many members did they have in Bethel?
Mm-hmm. I know that missionaries mm-hmm. they took their name after Luanna Riley. Mm-hmm. That was my husband's great aunt. And so she used to have it to have the children to come at her home. Mm-hmm. And she would ask them to do things and they would do it. Emma was one of them. Mm-hmm. And then they thought it was a pretty good deal, so they asked her to bring her to the church. Mm-hmm. And she did. And she worked faithfully in the church. And she done laundry work for a living. Mm-hmm. And she was particular about the laundry too. Mm-hmm. And when she'd get sick, I used to go to and do it for her. To her different people. Mm-hmm. And she had, you're not taking that, are you?
Mm-hmm.
What? About her. About
mm-hmm. Yeah, everything.
And she had the tubs, these laundry tubs, three sink tubs mm-hmm. in the kitchen. And she had them all full of water. Mm-hmm. And I had to rinse three times. I said, "Hey Lou, I'm not going to rinse those clothes in three water. Mm-hmm. Sadie, they'll be just as, I can't iron them." I said, "You're not going to iron them." I said, "They won't start." Mm-hmm. But I used to go down and take care of, help her mm-hmm. while she was sick. Mm-hmm. And she'd call me anytime of night. She'd go, if I didn't call her the other day, she'd say, "What's my family done to your family if you can't call me?" But she was very sweet. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. No, this was her business then, taking in laundry?
She took in laundry for a living. Mm-hmm. And the clothes were so blue with glowing, you wouldn't want to hang them online. Mm-hmm.
So this is where the missionary society was being
Yeah, uh-huh. Bethel.
So your husband family was were they there, the founding of Bethel then?
His mother was a stewardess.
Mm-hmm.
She was of Bethel, and she had one certain seat, a seat she would sit in, and her friend would. And they pretty well listened to her to what they
mm-hmm.
wanted. She's a very sweet woman. If mm-hmm. I do say it myself, she's one sweet mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm. What was her name? Just to have it.
Sarah.
Sarah Wilson.
Sarah Scott.
Sarah Scott. Mm-hmm. And your husband's name?
Sarah Scott.
Sarah Scott.
Mm-hmm.
And your husband's full name was
Raymond.
Side two of a conversation with Mrs. Scott of her experiences in Champaign-Urbana. Continuation of the conversation. Alright. Now, Ms. Scott, you were saying about your relationship with Mrs. Hines now.
Mm-hmm. Well, we were very, very, always very, very close, but she didn't, you know, my husband had a band, had an orchestra, and he was on the side where he, entertainment was his life, and at that time, and I always liked to dance, too, and she didn't go. She wouldn't. She had children so fast. Mm-hmm. But late years, well, then we were always close. Mm-hmm. Always have been. And but as I said, she had a sister named Carolyn. I guess you remember her.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd get tangled up in some names in which I said, Ruth, you ask Carolyn who's so-and-so. Well, just let her think a minute, and she could come up with the mm-hmm. with the names and the person and all about them.
Mm-hmm. She had a very good memory then for
she did,
people.
She did, and now Ruth and I talk about it. Now, if Carolyn was around, we could ask her. She forgets, and so do I.
Mm-hmm.
But I joined a club. That's the Willing Workers. Mm-hmm. We sort of, in a way, organized willing workers. I mean, that is years ago.
When do you remember, when was it organized? Do you remember the year, approximately? Approximately time.
Oh, let me see. That was when the Negro students was here. That must have been in 1918 or 19.
Was that when the first black students came to the university, about that time?
Yeah.
About 1918?
Mm-hmm.
Up until then, they hadn't had any.
No, we organized this Willing Workers, and I've been a member of it ever since.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd have lyceum, what they'd call mm-hmm. student lyceum,
mm-hmm.
on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And we would, to make some money, we would sell them hamburgers to make some money for our treasure.
Mm-hmm. Well, and did you sell them down in the church or over at the on campus?
Church basement.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And we'd make pretty good, what you call good in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And the students were hungry, so they would buy from us, and other people too.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say, the club is still going, mm-hmm. and that's the club that gave me a surprise the other day.
Mm-hmm.
My birthday surprise.
Oh, very good. That's mm-hmm. very good.
Then we had, I can't remember all the pastors we had, but every pastor we had, they agreed with us.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. You're going to have so-and-so. Now, I won't do anything until, and I like when Ray was living,
mm-hmm.
he belonged to the Monarch Club,
mm-hmm.
and what they call Monarch Club, and the pastor would always say, "Now, when are you going to have your dance?" He always had to have your dance. He'd tell him, he said, "Now, I'm going to have revival, but I'm not going to have it till after the dance.
Mm-hmm.
And if you all don't attend my revival, I'm going to talk about you." and we all attended his revival. And then they had a place that they called the Chinese Place.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody would go after church, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And was downtown upstairs,
mm-hmm.
and he'd stand at the door. We had night church then.
Mm-hmm.
He'd stand at the door and shake hands and say, "I'll see you after a while." And he was there too.
Which pastor was this? Which one was this?
I can't think of his name right now. Can you wait till I ask Ruth?
Oh, yeah.
The club that you said your husband belonged to, was that a club in the church?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, yeah.
And I mean, Bethel used to give dances?
No, he belonged to the club. Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't in the church. Mm-hmm. It was social club. Mm-hmm. I see what you're saying.
Wasn't connected with the church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But Reverend Jones used to say, when you want to have your dance, well, such as at the time, he'd tell, well, I won't have the revival after yet, but you better come to the revival, don't you? I'm going to talk about you.
Mm-hmm.
As I say, he'd go to ball games with us.
Mm-hmm.
When we go to ball games, he'd be there. And Sunday nights when we'd go up to the Chinese place, he'd be right there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, Where did they hold the dances? Did you have any problems?
Well, we had them. There was a building in Nevada,
mm-hmm.
that we is up the upstairs building that we had some of the day one, but the biggest dance, why it was in Lewis. You know where used to be Lewis's store. A big store downtown.
I think I've heard someone talk.
And they had a floor on the top floor, and they rented that to Ray and that.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have sense enough to dance till 12, 1 o'clock. We'd dance all night, 5 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And the band would play, and we would dance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is this the band that your husband belonged to?
Mm-hmm.
What was the name of that?
Scotch.
It was named after him then.
Scott's Orchestra. And Raymond used to play, and Bob Stovall, and you know Miss Stovall.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And George Evans, all of them used to play. And,
What instrument did your husband play?
He played saxophone. Mm. That's where Ronnie plays. Mm. He took Grandpa's saxophone and a case. And one day I was down in the basement, that's that wrong after Red Pat, and we had a straight sax.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw it, and he wanted it. And you know, they told him in the band if he didn't get another case, they was going to fire him. That case was falling apart, but he can't.
He wanted to keep it,
and he still got it, but he can't, but he don't use it.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like the people here, even though it was segregated, you had a very good social life, a very mm-hmm. good social mm-hmm. part. So you were talking about the Chinese place. And did you get very much segregation in restaurants and things?
No. They would look for us after church, and the Reverend would. He'd come in after we got. Well, we knew. I think he did that because he wanted to keep us together. He didn't want us to go thus and so and where. Mm-hmm. And he'd tell us, "Well, I'll be there. You go, and I'll be there." Mm-hmm. And he was there. Mm-hmm. But I think he knew that. He wanted to keep us together. Mm-hmm. That's what I imagine. Mm-hmm.
When did you notice that Bethel was getting new people coming in, that new people were coming in, settling into Champaign? When was the greatest number you think really came into the church? Mm-hmm. Was it about during the Depression or maybe after World War II?
The older people began to come in then and more. But it was hard in a way for us kids, my sister and I, because my mother was a Methodist, my father was, and his father was Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
And the arguments they would have,
mm-hmm.
I said, well, I don't believe I'll join church at all.
You hear them talking about Methodist and Baptist. But both you and your sister went Methodist then?
I went to Baptist church one time. Which of us, our pastor was out of town. We just said we'd go to Baptist church. So we went there, and the pastor got up and said, well, what are you doing here today? You're going to join us, but you're not. So we didn't go back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Some kind of comments.
I don't know why he did it.
Right,
so we just stayed with Bethel Church. Uh-huh. And Bethel Church is, it's old too. It was here when I came. Mm-hmm. The new one. The old one.
Yeah. Did your husband's parents, were they some of the first members that Bethel had when it was first
founded? Well, the mother, his mother was a staunch Methodist, but the stepfather was something else. He was Baptist. Mm-hmm. But he didn't bother her wherever she went. It's all right.
What about teachers and doctors and this type of thing? People who were first coming into Shannon. When you got here, were there any black teachers at all?
Well, you know what? They were. We this school. The kids would just go to high school and they'd quit. Mm-hmm. Well, why don't you go to the university? Well, they wouldn't. They won't hire us, which they didn't. Mm-hmm. They won't hire us to teach. So why do we want to bother to go to university? Mm-hmm. But then the teachers from the South, black teachers, came and began to come in, and they hired them because they knew that they knew their work, and they do that today.
Yeah. When do you remember the first one that was hired? Were you here when the first one that was hired?
There wasn't any in high school. Mm-hmm. Might have been one or two, and I don't remember. But I know one time when we, as a principal of the Lincoln School where Irma went, and then my granddaughter was living with me, then I raised her. Mm-hmm. And I also raised Doris Wiley, you know, girl that got married. I don't know whether you know her. Mm-hmm. She's Catholic. And so when she got old enough to go to school, she went to Lincoln School, and she told him, Irma did, and told him that she wanted to enter her niece. Mm-hmm. And this crazy teacher, she's a white woman. Well, we don't take you go to your own group, go to your own end of town, because we don't take them here. And Irma said, this is my end of town. Said, I went here, and my brother went here, and my nephew went here. This is my end of town. Well, we just can't take you. So Irma knew the principal, knew the superintendent. So she said, well, you will. And so she went down to the principal, superintendent's office, and said to him, you know, they won't take my granddaughter to in Lincoln School. He said, well, Irma, what's the matter? They won't. Said she didn't belong there. He said, well, they will. He wrote a note and called her up and told her she's going there. Mm-hmm. And she went, and he was a good principal. Mm-hmm. He must have been good, because he was promoted to Springfield, superintendent of all the schools. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he started out. He started here. Do you remember his name? Mm-hmm. Do you what was his name?
Ichabod Crane.
He was so tall. No, I don't remember right off. Mm-hmm.
When did this happen? Was it back in the '50s, 40s?
Yeah, it was about 4. Cause she's 40 years old now.
Oh, the one that they wanted to put in into the school.
And she was. This woman was, she was strictly German. That's when the war was going on. Mm-hmm. And she was strictly German. Mm-hmm. And all she talked about was the war. Mm-hmm. And then we had another teacher there. She was strictly Jewish. Mm-hmm. And but she was a teacher. Mm-hmm. And she always liked Irma. Mm-hmm. And she prayed her work, whatever she done.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back maybe to the depression. What effect did the depression have on Champaign? The depression. What effect did the depression have on the 30s? Did you feel it at all?
Well, and since Ray was working for the state, it didn't. Guess what he got a month? $135 or $140 a month. It wasn't that time. And
cost of living would probably
it didn't bother us too much because he had a job. Mm-hmm. And
so one night a depression made him unemployed or anything. He didn't have a job the whole time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you ever work?
I worked as a maid in a sorority, and then I worked as a day work. Mm-hmm. And so at that time, and after my husband passed, at that time they didn't have any place for football players to stay. Mm-hmm. And my son, he was supposed to get basketball or football players at the university, and they would stay at my house. Mm-hmm. And they'd get their own meals. They'd come out down and get their breakfast, and the coach would call up every night, "Miss Scott, is so and so and so in?" I didn't know who was in or who was out. Mm-hmm. I said, "Mm-hmm." "Is so and so in?" "Yeah, they're all accounted for." I said, "Mm-hmm." Mm-hmm. So "All of you in?" All of the coach called all of you in and said, "Yeah, they're all in."
Mm-hmm.
How long did you house them? Well, not long after they got a place over there where they could watch it. Mm-hmm. They got a place over there where they could eat and sleep. And
now, was this before they had the dormitories for the black mm-hmm. students over there?
Yeah, that's before the dormitories. Mm-hmm. And so then after Ray passed,
when did your husband pass?
In 19, its church was built in 79. He was chairman of the board. The building committee.
Oh, I see.
And the church was built in 77.
He
passed in 77.
He just passed us a couple of years ago?
No, this was 57.
57, right. Uh-huh. The church was finished for 59 or 59.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So he passed in 50.
He's been dead 22 years.
22 years.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So he passed in 57.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he passed in 57. The church was built in 59. As right. I said, he was chairman of the building committee.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's see what the questions we have here.
Doug DeSanta too, on the building committee.
So he did quite a bit of community work, not only working on the campus, but he participated quite a bit in the community work.
Yeah, we loved that. Mm-hmm. We liked it. Uh-huh. Yeah, he was chairman of the building committee for the center. Mm-hmm. And I tell him it was a fellow there that that used to work there. And they considered me his mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in there one day and he was talking to some children. I said, "Oh, you've been drinking." He said, I said, "I smell it."
Mm-hmm.
I said, his name was Bud. I said, "Bud, you can't do that and work here." And I said, "I'm not doing it, have anything to do with it." So I said to Nate, "Do you allow him to drink and work?" He said, "No." Nate didn't drink himself. I said, "Well, Bud was drinking." And I think he must have enjoyed it, because I didn't think he would. He went and told Irma, said, "You know, your mother got on me just like a mother would." And said, I enjoyed that. I appreciate that. And I'm not going to do that anymore." But I didn't think he would.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
In your work
I'll get rid of it. Anybody thinks you're friendly as you are, I said, that used to be.
In your work experience, did you how did you feel about your relationship, I guess, with different people?
Different people. In the community.
Right, in the community.
Well, you know, at we were born, the kids were born over on Tremont Street. That's his mother's place. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't have go to hospitals in.
Mm-hmm. Were you not allowed to go to the hospitals, or was
well,
it the,
I
the
guess
money?
We had a black doctor here that he was a good doctor. And
you remember his name? His name?
Dr. Ellis. Uh-huh. And he of course when he had this band, he played the banjo in the band.
Dr. Ellis did?
Mm-hmm. Oh. That's when he was in school. Mm-hmm. And then after he finished and got his degree, he came back here. Mm-hmm. And well, that was before my my kid wasn't born then. And he couldn't doctor out any hospital.
He couldn't find, they wouldn't take him in the hospital?
They wouldn't take him in any hospital, doctor out of any hospital. So, we just didn't bother with going to the hospital. Of course, we didn't have to. But, what was the other question you asked?
So you said Dr. Ellis couldn't work out of any hospital, so...
Uh-huh. And then my kids were small, and then at the age, my boy was at the age where I used to tell my husband, I said, I'll tell Irma things of life, and you tell Scott, you tell Raymond. No, he didn't do it this morning. So... They'd hang around the doctor's office, mm-hmm. and he'd give them books to read.
Oh, I see.
And they would read the books, and he would discuss problems with them.
So you were very close to very close to the doctor. Your
mm-hmm.
family's
oh,
very.
Oh yeah,
close.
We saw an awful lot of Dr. Ellis, mm-hmm. and but he's passed on now.
How long did he practice his medicine? How long did he practice medicine here? From the time he came out of medical school
mm-hmm.
until he passed?
Until he passed on. Mm-hmm. And he had to work his way through because his father wouldn't, he didn't have a mother. His mother passed. Mm-hmm. And his father said that he got through school without any education, he could do the same thing. Well, Dr. Ellis wanted more than that. Mm-hmm. So he came here and stayed. And he kind of made our home his home. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Did you live close? Did you two live close by, or just you just close here? Did he live in the same neighborhood with you then?
Well, he turned out to be a Jehovah's Witness.
Oh.
And he when he died, it was after the war was over.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a military funeral. I shouldn't laugh about it, but our boys are just beginning to come home. They
mm-hmm.
had come home,
mm-hmm.
and the one had to stand at the head of the casket. And I wish you would have seen them.
Mm-hmm.
How proud they were to show off what they knew.
But then,
mm-hmm. And then they and I don't like taps, and they blew the taps.
Oh.
The Pope boy, the Alice Pope's son,
mm-hmm.
he was in the army, and he was a lieutenant,
mm-hmm.
and he blew the taps.
The Cecil Pope?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Were your close families, I know you say you and she were very close. Were your families very close?
Mm-hmm.
Close?
Yeah, they were very,
uh-huh.
very close. Uh-huh.
Right.
And, but, as I say, when we got married and got separated, well, we
mm-hmm.
not as close as we.
Right.
Well, you had your own families and everything
mm-hmm.
like that.
Family life.
Right. I think I kind of asked you this before. When did you first begin to see a lot of people start coming, especially in the Bethel? When did you first see a lot of people like joining, new people coming into Champaign? Was it after the war or?
After the war.
After
mm-hmm.
World War II?
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of?
A lot of Southern people
mm-hmm.
would come through and drop off here. We tell them this is a drop-off center.
This is a drop-off center.
Uh-huh. But
coming up from the south on the
mm-hmm.
train,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
those didn't make it to Chicago.
No, yeah, Yeah, and they fill that up so they come stop off here.
Right. Mm-hmm. Do you think it was hard for them, from your experience with them, and was it hard for them to
get adjust?
Into, right, adjust or?
No, you know, Southern people are very, very friendly. That's what I say about Northern people. They're not as friendly as Southern people are very, very friendly. Now, we can make tell a difference when they go by here. We'd be sitting out like they are now.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd go by and they'd say, how do you do? And then she would say, they're from the South.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody...
The lady next door said that.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. She's from the South. They're from the South. So then if somebody go by and look at you, pass on to them, I said, where are they from? They're from up here where you are. But they were very, very friendly. As I say, mm-hmm. Southern people are very friendly.
So you know that they were able to
adjust.
They wanted to adjust.
They did.
Right. Mm-hmm. Did you see a lot of change in Champaign from the fact that they're coming here? Did they hire more black people?
They're not particular about hiring us right now.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Because this Miss Collin, of course, she quit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess this other person was a Negro.
Mm-hmm.
And
the other lady.
She wanted to, they wanted her to work both jobs and get the same money. So they're not particular about hiring us yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Negroes are gone together now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to raise Cain about it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How would you, thinking about over the years, how would you see the progress? Well, I guess you were referring to that too when you just mentioned the fact that they're not too particular about hiring us now.
Oh, you're talking about being friendly.
No, I'm talking about the progress that we have made as a group here in Champaign.
You mean here in Champaign?
Right. Uh-huh.
I think we made a wonderful progress, mm-hmm. and we could make more.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we have made wonderful progress, mm-hmm. in far as education is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What about in other areas? Do you see any?
Mm-hmm.
You say as far as education.
Mm-hmm.
What about in other areas?
Well,
jobs and politics and this type of thing.
Well, I don't fool with politics.
Mm-hmm.
You give me $2-3, I'll vote for you. But they don't do that now.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember when they used to do that then? Did they used to do that quite a bit?
Mm-hmm. When we first came here, they mm-hmm. did. And they don't do that. They vote for the man now, not for the party.
Mm-hmm. What about in voting? Did you have was there a lot of problem in black people registering to vote when you first came? Or you didn't have any problem at all? I guess I'm thinking about the South when they weren't allowed. They had so many technicalities that
mm-hmm.
they couldn't register to vote. Did you have any problems like that here?
Well, you can register. Anybody can register.
Mm-hmm. You didn't have any problems?
No.
Never had that type of problem?
Because they're too anxious to get you.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I see. You say your husband passed in 1957. How do you think he felt towards his later years? He'd been involved so much in community affairs. How do you think he felt as far as Champaign? Do you think he might have felt that they could have made more by the time he had passed, or did you think they pretty much made a lot of progress? How do you think he
felt?
Mm-hmm. From what your conversation with him back in the 50s,
mm-hmm.
what was his feeling about the whole
thing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he didn't like it, but
did he still? I mean, you said when he was working, things didn't bother him. Can you remember any incident or anything where
it bothered him?
Right, you really saw the effect of where it might really upset him. Something that might have happened, or did he pretty much take everything just about in stride?
You mean politically?
Politically, or anything that might have happened to him, something somebody might have said to him, or
when his brother passed, he definitely
pretty much
was. And when his mother passed, that that hurt him a whole lot. Mm-hmm.
So it was a personal things, like
yeah,
that
personal.
In family that really
mm-hmm.
affected
his family.
Right, but mm-hmm. things like people from the outside said to him and things like that. Did he have any very many incidents on
well,
the job?
Well, he was a 32nd degree Mason.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on the way to his 33rd when he passed, and he was all Masons.
How did the Masons fit into the life of here in Champaign? Have a lot of importance as far as the Masons? Well, are you an Eastern Star then?
I was. Until. We used to go to the meeting, and we had a wagon. We put the kids in. Mm-hmm. Take them to the meeting and put them in a room upstairs and close the door. So they had an initiation one night, and I heard Raymond say, he called Irma, he wouldn't call her, he called her Umma.
Mm-hmm.
Umma, did you see when they so-and-so? And he said, I just thought I'd die. I said, well, so-and-so happened. And you know, that's kind of scared me. I said, uh-oh, Ray, we can't take them anymore. They've been looking.
Oh, they saw some of the initiation that went on.
They was talking about some of the initiation.
Oh, I mm-hmm. see. Mm-hmm. So you realized then that they were old enough to realize
that? They were. Uh-huh. They were old enough to know what they were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that kind of, he joined the Star to keep me so.
Of conversation with Mrs. Scott. The conversation will continue discussing the Masons and the place it had in Negro society. All right, Mrs. Scott, I was asking you about just what was the significance, the importance of the Masons.
The Bible, religious part, and he liked that. Very, very much. And they would go, he would be going, that's how I used to go with him all the time. They would send him to conventions, you know, different places, and I would go with him.
Mm-hmm.
And not that I was in it, in the Star or anything, but he'd just take me along for a visit, you know. And that's how we get to go here and there.
Right.
You were comparing it with the Elks and the Shrines. What was the comparison? Between
well, they were the Shrine was the good time bunch. They
mm-hmm.
they done a lot for the children's homes,
mm-hmm.
and for children.
Mm-hmm.
But if they would want to give a dance or something like that, well, they would do it to give it to the children,
mm-hmm.
the homes, and they had their Shrine hats, and
mm-hmm.
and he was a Shriner too, as I said, mm-hmm. he belonged to Springfield.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, getting away from the Masons about Bethel, what part did Bethel as a church play in the progress of the community here? Would you say it played a very great part, or?
Yeah, they did. They some pastors were very nice, and then other pastors were just for themselves, and they'd go places where we'd find out where they were. And they just didn't.
As far as community, what part did Bethel play in the community?
Well, they used to play a large part in the community, and they were instigators in several projects that were going on at that time. Mm-hmm.
Can you recall any where they? I know I've heard say that
they played a good part in this segregation
mm-hmm.
thing to get it together mm-hmm. and work as one, huh?
Mm-hmm.
What about the students? I understand that they
very few students,
mm-hmm.
and they all were with Bethel,
mm-hmm.
and they would come to church at night, day or whatever,
mm-hmm.
Sunday school. The Sunday school was at 3:00, and the church would be just crowded.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about the black people now in Champaign? Just to sum up, how would you say their attitude now? Are you, do you think they appreciate
what's going on?
What's going on, or just how do you feel about
the attitude? I is for us to do more, I guess, is that. But you know, the children, the kids here, just don't take to things like they should. Mm-hmm. When the opportunity is so great that they can borrow money to go to university and they can borrow money to go to school, or they get out of school and just don't do anything. And then this drug business just gets all over me. Somebody said, well, you don't worry about it. You haven't any children. I said, I've got grandchildren. I've got great-grandchildren. I said, it worries me. I said, you know, they're getting hold of drugs in grade schools now.
I understand exactly. I do thank you very much for the time that you've given and your wealth of information, and I'm appreciative of all that you've given us today. Is there any other comments or anything else you'd like to add?
No, I was glad that you came, and you especially. I'll show you through the house.
Oh, okay. This is the end of our conversation with Sarah Scott.